definitely get there. This year's Fun Drive theme is Crush on CITR, and we've got some amazing Crush-appropriate swag for you when you donate. We're talking about branded CITR and Discorder candy hearts, limited edition toques and mugs, and even on-air song dedications. That's right, donate the right amount and you can publicly express your crush on someone in maybe the most romantic way possible, by dedicating a song to them which will play on CITR on Valentine's Day. Fun Drive is happening February 5th to the 14th, but you can show your love for CITR right now by going to citr.ca/donate. And thank you.
That's why they call them crushes. 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 Crushes.
I had the honor on my vest to protect myself. To protect myself. To protect myself.
You are tuned in to Off the Beaten Path here on, I'm your host, sorry. The microphone's too loud. You know, you never really, sometimes you don't really expect it. But, you know what, you're here. It's Thursday, February 13th. The year's flying by. And you know what? It's totally fine, because you're here. We're ready to slow down for the next hour and just listen, tune in, whatever you're doing, whether you're getting ready for school, you're getting ready for work, maybe you are at work, you know, and you're like, you know what, I need a break. Welcome. Maybe you were at home, you know, and you're at work, because, you know, working from home is the thing now. And you're tuned in with me, but sorry, I'm just trying to get these levels right. Guess what? We've got a great show for you for the next hour. If you've never tuned in to Off the Beaten Path before, you're in for a treat. It is Fun Drive here at CITR. So get over to citr.ca/donate. That's D-O-N-A-T-E. If you need some help, or you can call in at 604-822-8648 later in the day, starting in about 3 hours, you can call in and donate, you know, if that's a little easier. listen, here at CITR, we provide some great radio content. And Off the Beaten Path is just one of many shows that does that. You were just listening to Beam with Under Armour. If you never listened to Off the Beaten Path before, this is what we do here. Sometimes we have some guests on to talk about some interesting projects that they might have. Sometimes just some smart people. A lot of times it's just me telling you, you know, news. What's going on in the week? What's going on, you know, here in Canada? What's going on here in British Columbia? What's going on here in the Lower Mainland? What's going on in the United States and the rest of the world? You know, it's important. You know, whether this is this is actually the perfect time to listen to the show, because what I have known is that, you know, there's so much going on in the world. We're just, you know, always doing our thing, you know, not really able to sit down and just listen, you know. And we get just wrapped up in our own bubble, and we don't actually know what's going on in the world. And, you know, it's Valentine's Day weekend, and so whether you are in a long-term relationship, or maybe this is your first Valentine's Day with your loved one, or maybe you're single and you're going out on Valentine's Day and you're like, you know what, it's a long weekend, Valentine's Day's on Friday, you got three chances, you know, to meet somebody, maybe the love of your life, and you want them to be like, this guy or girl is a little interesting. They know what is going on in the world. They have a firm, grounded position in this earth, and that is what I'm looking for. And honestly, that's what this show provides you. You know, this show provides you with a little bit of information that you can choose to dig into deeper, but also enough to just make you feel well-informed and like you're an interesting person. And for that, like, I'm doing it in my half. I would say I do about 60%. Like, you are over there doing 40%. And, you know, we want to get you up to 50. And to get up to 50%, you got to reach in your pockets a little bit, because, listen, we are halfway to our goal here at CITR. And if you don't know what CITR, there's so many good things that CITR does. My favorite thing, what we do here, is we provide radio camps for kids for kids. And so what that does is it allows kids to come in here and tell their voice. We also have shows highlighting the people with alternative abilities, where they can come in and they do radio and they talk about their experiences. Also, people who come in here, listen, this is an inclusive space that needs donations to continue. And I thank you in advance. But let's get into the show. We got a lot to talk about today. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. And it's important to acknowledge, when we do the land acknowledgement, that it's not just acknowledging that we are broadcasting on their ancestral lands, but it's also the fact that these are still their lands. It's not like, while it's ancestral, it is current. It's theirs here in BC. A 1994 case solidified that, Supreme Court case. And what we have seen, I think, before we get started, if you live in BC, or you have been in BC for the last week, or maybe you just live in another part of Canada, what you'll see is protest nationally supporting the Wet'suwet'en band out of central BC. And so here on Off the Beaten Path, you know, if you listen to the show regularly, you're no stranger to the topics that we talk about, you know, the pipeline, marijuana, housing, drugs, homelessness. And this case is about the hereditary chiefs not having been consulted or having signed off on the pipeline that is set to go through the Wet'suwet'en lands in central BC, and basically how the federal government and the provincial government has pushed through without full consultation. And reconciliation has been a big theme in Canadian government, I would say, like in the past decade, now maybe a little longer than that, you know, really trying to, I would say really trying to, I mean, they're doing, I don't want to even say they're doing the best they can. They're doing things, they say, to really try to develop and build that relationship back or build that relationship. But it's little things, I mean, and it's big things, but it's things like, you know, what we've seen recently, you know, sending the RCMP in to arrest and intimidate people at protests all over the country. That really has people saying that reconciliation is dead. It was very interesting because what I don't know if people understand the gravity of what that means and how does that make people and how does it make people, particularly young people, feel? I've seen a lot of the protests in, I would say I've seen a lot of them on social media, but I went to one, and what you see is that there's a fair amount of young people who are standing with the First Nations here. And it's not going to go away. So it's not like this is not something that is going to, that the government is just going to be able to push through and then move on from. What we've seen is that there is a lot of, I don't want to say angst, but there's, I mean, there's already a lot of tension and disrespect blatantly. And so what that happened, what happens is then you get this mistrust and obviously, you know, not being able to move forward with the project. And so listen, here off the beaten path, we stand with the Wet'suwet'en people, and that's on that. We're going to get into the show. Oh, and just an interesting note. When I was doing, so when I look for things to talk about on the show, when I say, I'm basically scanning throughout the week for different types of stories and information that I think is interesting to bring to you all. And we're looking at the CBC radio over the past few days, looking at the CBC website, what you see is that there is, I don't want to say a blackout, but there was not on the first page a story about the protests that are happening nationally, which I thought was very interesting. And since this morning, they have changed it. But for 2 days, it's probably the only thing that I've been hearing about. And they weren't talking about it. So, you know, you tell me what that you think that means. When we get back, we're going to start the show. You know, like really start the show how we normally start it. Listen, I got a lot of great new music for you. It's Black History Month, so you know what that means. Maybe you don't, but I do. Yeah, and we'll be back with the weather, and then we're going to get back into some more news.
Give away all my colors, I'm left with shades of blue. Can't handle your darkness, but they want all the shades of you.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9citr.ca/donate. You can just go right there and give some money. I don't know if you guys were listening to the show last week, but my mother called in and she said to pay your fair share. So you can do that at 604-822-8648, or you can call in here and you can tell me how much you love me for Valentine's Day. That's 604-822-2487. It's Valentine's Day tomorrow, just in case you guys didn't know. Any guys who are listening to the show, or ladies, it's 2020. And maybe you should treat your man, or maybe your love interest, or maybe a crush that you have. Listen, it is crush-themed donations. So listen, if you have a... if you have a crush on me, listen, if you get up in the morning and you're like, I really like Thursdays, I love listening to Issa, show me and donate some money to CITR. It's one of my love languages. I learned acts of money. I think that's one. Anyways, moving on to... I feel like there's always so much stuff that's going on that I can't keep up. And you know what? That's why I have you guys, because listen, this is like a community show. This is a community. If you listen to the show right now, listen, we're homies. And not only are you homies with me, but you're homies with everyone else who listens to Off the Beaten Path. We're a team, like a collective. as one might say, you know? We all do our part. You know, whether you text me stories or maybe you're sending me songs, you know, or jokes or things that you like. You know what? We appreciate it. Or maybe you just, you know, on Instagram lurking and you just happen to find my stuff. It's totally fine. There's something that I always confused about. So Vancouver Island has a school that's going to change the name. Alan Webster's Neil's name will be removed from A.W. Neil Elementary School in Port Alberni, B.C. And because he's a racist. He's a racist former federal MP. And we have this thing in the United States as well, particularly I think it's evident during Black History Month, where at least a few racist names get scrubbed off of some elementary school and, you know, put up with some new ones. And when people try to understand, I guess, like how pervasive racism and other isms are in our society, like, I feel that it doesn't take such a hard look. Like, I am exhausted with trying to explain to people just like how entrenched racism in our society. But every time I see one of these stories where they talk about removing a name or removing a statue, it's like another reminder, because these people weren't put into like, all of these people have accomplished something that somebody felt of merit that they should put their name on the school. And a lot of that time, you know, it had nothing, you know, that's, you can see my air quotes, nothing to do with them being a racist, you know, whether it was this MP, I don't even know what that means. Master of Parmesan, I have no idea, you know. However, felt like this guy did something of merit to, you know, put his name on a school. And what you see is that, like, yeah, nobody even cared that this person was a racist, because it didn't even matter. You know what I mean? It didn't even, it didn't enter anybody's consciousness as a thing that was right or wrong. It's just like, nah, this person's just racist. It is what it is. And so, like, when you think about, like, whatever this guy did, I don't know. Because he's a member of parliament. That's what MP stands for. Ah, got it. He's a racist. I don't really care what he did. But, like, so he's a member of parliament, and he's a racist. And so you think of all of the things, like, so we can remove his name from the school, but you can't, like, scrub his votes out. You know, you can't go back in time and change the things that he did. And so, or the, you know, institutions that he supported and the policies that he promoted. And so all of those things still exist in the backgrounds and, like, in the, the DNA and in the culture of, you know, everything that is British Columbia, Canada, the United States, you know, that goes through every place that has these things. And what you see is that, like, racism is so embedded. And so it's nice to get these people's names off of buildings, or, you know, pull their statues down, or, you know, whatever. It doesn't seem like that's much of an argument to not do it. Like, I don't know why there is a single racist still monument up. But it goes, like, far beyond there. I think that when looking at these particular people, you know, especially these people with school, with their names on schools, you probably should not only address just the naming rights, but also go back and look at the things they supported and the things that they didn't, and erase these people from not just memory, because that's where people are memorialized. They put them on schools so that people will never forget them. But actually probably should be taken a step further and erase all of the, go back and look at the things that they supported and the ones that we find to be, you know, not just cosmetic, but actually causing harm. We should remove them from there too. Remove their votes or their memories or, you know, their actions. And then we should look at their descendants and see how much money they made off of that. And then we could get some of that too. Listen, I feel like taking the name off is purely cosmetic. It's got to be just a little bit deeper than that. And if you didn't know, there's this thing going on. It's called the coronavirus. Here in BC, they have gone from 2 cases to potentially 4 cases. I personally believe that every time one of these, Asian sicknesses has come up, it's very rooted in racism. You know, I would say we should have died from like at least 4 different types of Asian flus by now, and Ebola, and we haven't, which is great. It's not how I want to go, but we haven't. And so what we see is that not only does it like affect how we think about the what's going on over there in China, but it affects of how what we think about what's going on here in Canada and in the places, in the neighborhoods that Chinese people and other Asian people reside. So in Richmond, at a food court at Aberdeen Center, there are many, many restaurants that have been struggling this past month to have customers because people are not eating there because of their fear for catching the coronavirus from these Chinese food places. Mr. Joey Kwan, the director of promotions for the mall, says that traffic is about 30% lower for this time of the year, which is, he believes to be, he has to say, very understandable, but he wants to make sure people know that it's safe. And so all I'm thinking is that I have Googled which of these restaurants that used to be packed but now are empty because I bet that they slap. So listen, like they're, listen, it's in the Aberdeen Mall. You can go on the internet to find out which restaurants, because I'm not going to tell you because I don't want it to be crowded when I go there. Like, while I want them to get their business back, this seems like a great opportunity to go to a restaurant that is normally crowded, that is not crowded anymore. And I guess I just don't have them. I'm just not that scared to catch the coronavirus. Like, I'm just not worried about it. And maybe you could call in at 604-822-2487 and tell me why I should be scared. Listen, I'm only going to listen to you if you're a doctor or a naturopath or maybe a pharmacist or a psychic. I listen to like a futurist maybe to let me know. So maybe they have some insights into some things that I do not. Sorry. That I'm having a hard time speaking. So I'm tired. And that's what happens. Sorry, guys. But I'm here. Here for you. And I'm also here for Chinese food that slaps. And listen, if you're listening to the show and you're like, I can't donate to CITR because maybe you don't have a credit card, or you're in bed and your credit card's across the room. I also would accept Chinese food. And then I'll make the donation to match it. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about some ways we're trying to get away from the phrase man up, because there's other ways to think about being a man. When we get back.
I'm stable, why I'm always table. I need to be cradled. Tell me I'm amazing, like even when I'm wasting. Treat me like a patient, I got no ambition. Unless I'm feeling lifted, drifting. Sucking overboding, I'm so sick of floating. At least I'm sinking right beside you. See, there's no one like you. It's not an obsession, I just need to find you. Cause
you could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. gray. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. Even when it's gray, even when it's gray. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray. Even when it's gray. Yes, I want y'all, everything like old bae, and I won't say, more sex, absolutely, she dance with sun like a walking movie, perchance I'm a talking loony, my mind gets fun, think I caught your cooties, dark clouds over London town, I've been abroad 3 days, I'm feeling rubbish, wow, loose change and it won't amount, you really changed my day, it's a Sunday now. You could be my sunshine, even when it's gray, you could be my sunshine, even when it's gray, you could be my sunshine, even when it's gray, even when it's gray, even when it's gray. My sunshine, even when it's gray. You be my sunshine, even when it's gray. You be my sunshine, even when it's gray. Even when it's gray.
If you'd like to call in, number is 604-822-2487. Listen, some of the things I think about pretty frequently that you guys might not know are about animals and about dying. You know, not like I'm looking forward to dying, but the possibility is there. And then you have to think about what happens to your body afterwards. You know, and listen, this woman that UBC is thinking about a way, thinking about that as well. So a woman, Jocelyn Monette, she's been trying to think about ways that are more, how do you say, dare I say granola. But it's not, you know, like, what are ways we can give back to the earth in a more sustainable way post-mortem? And she's obviously a vegan, and she obviously lives in Kitsilano. And so she talks about how she doesn't want her journey out of this world to be impeded by fossil fuels or to have anything, fossil fuels to have anything to do with it. So she's looking for an alternative to cremation, an alternative to caskets, headstones, you know, and wants to be such a little burden on the world. And so I can understand that, you know, I feel like I invented the idea of being turned into a tree. Listen, I know that this is a big thing now, but I'm 100%, listen, you know, if you know me, you know that I invented it. I feel like that's one of those things that, I just thought at first. I just did. I'm sorry. Listen, if you're listening to this radio show, and you think that you invented it, you didn't. I did. And maybe we did it in some cosmic conjunction, you know, like in the next dimension. And that's possible. Because I did read this book where it talked about how there has been a odd coincidence about there's, I wish I could remember exactly which inventions, but they're like, it was like the wheel and a few other inventions that happened literally at the same time, but in different parts of the world. And so maybe we were all visited by the same alien. It's possible. Anyways, this woman, she wants to create green burials, which are basically dissolving your body in an alkaline based water. I think that's just bleach. I think they're just dissolving you in bleach. I'm just reading this, talking about this as reading through it. Basically dissolving your body into water and then using that water to either water plants or push you off into the ocean. And I guess that this actually does use more, it uses some fossil fuels because the water needs to be heated up to 177 degrees Celsius. So basically, you get boiled to death. And I wonder what that looks like, you know, going forward. Anyways, moving on. I think these stories are in conjunction. So talking about, there's a new study, basically, that's out, that says when kids have anxiety, don't coddle them. And I feel like that goes directly against what messaging has been being pushed to adults and to kids alike, which is talking about stop bullying. Because what is not coddling anxiety, a kid with anxiety, look like? It looks a lot like bullying. You know? So is bullying and shaming good, or is bullying and shaming bad? I don't know. This counselor says that not coddling these kids is better for their development. I feel like, first off, so there's another story that I was going to read. So, you know, I've got a lot of friends who are having babies in this next summer. Like, it's in the teens. It's kind of ridiculous. Like, when you say the coronavirus, I'm like, no, there's baby virus going on. You know, people talk about baby fever. My friends, they have baby viruses going on. It's something is going on. Anyways, so I have, like, in the teens, probably, like, 14 friends who are having kids between May and August. And so there's always, so I'm always, like, reading things about, you know, that I can share with my friends. So I want to feel like a part, but I also don't want to have a kid. And I read this story, I read this article earlier on the weekend. It's talking about how speaking parentese, so you know that, like, whiny-ass voice that parents speak to their kids in? Speaking in parentese is actually good for the baby, and it helps boost the language skills. Now, that goes directly against a study I saw, like, a year ago where it talked about speaking full words and full sentences to your kid helps develop their vocabulary quicker and faster. Now, do you want your baby to have more words, or do you want it, or do you want them to have to get up to speed faster? I feel like these studies 100% contradict each other, and this happens a lot. Like, is it good to coddle kids with anxiety, or is it not? Do you, like, bully them into getting out of their anxiety? Because that just seems like a way for them later in life to have to go see a counselor. Like, I feel like this counselor might actually be playing the long game. It's like, okay, there's kids with anxiety. You know, like, if we get people to recognize their anxiety and treat it early, they won't have any need for a counselor later in life. So what we need to do is they need to get people into, trick them into bullying their kids when they're younger, so then it sends their anxiety sky high by the time they're a teenager. Boom, sending them even more business. That's not, I think, the counselor's thinking, because there's no way that these studies can go back and forth all the time. It just doesn't make any sense. Because, like, I said, I don't have any kids, but I've been around enough kids with anxiety to know they're not getting coddled. I don't even know what that looks like. And if they are, I wonder how they feel about it, you know? Like if you, I guess they don't have any opinion. They're kids, you know? And then also, yeah, that's another thing. It's like, do we treat them like adults or do we treat them like kids? There's no comprehensive study. But anyways, one thing I do know is that Josh Beharry, he is a man who's starting this. He started this group, basically men's mental health group, trying to end Man Up. And so his group is called, it's called Heads Up, guys. And so what the group does is it talks to men basically in a way that says, your friends are stupid and your friends are smarter than you think. That's basically the premise. So what happened was this guy, Josh, he jumped off a bridge. You know that saying, like, say, if your mom's like, if your friend jumped off a bridge, would you do it? And you're like, no. You know, you do something stupid like that because you know if your friend jumped off the bridge, he's stupid. And you were probably not going to do it. But Josh did jump off the bridge. He jumped off a 9-story bridge and lived to tell about it. He's basically, I think he was a dare. You know, he was with some friends. And so what it tells us is that what studies, and you guys see, you can't see the air quotes. I wish there was like a sound I could find for these air quotes, like whoosh or something. I don't know. Anyways, friends dared him to jump off the bridge, and he did it. And then he got broke up. And so this idea is that we overestimate basically what our actions mean to our friends. And we internally overestimate. And so, like, our friends actually don't have that much pressure. Like, your friends don't actually expect you to jump off of a bridge. But as a man, you know, you feel like this man up, this idea that you have to live up to these expectations that actually don't exist. And so you do stupid things to impress people who actually aren't impressed because they weren't thinking that you would actually do it in the first place. But you have tricked yourself into thinking that they have. Or that they would look at you more positively if you did. And so that's how you get these escalation of risk levels in boys and teens. And I had a nice article about it. You can go find it on the internet. And so it's like this self-fulfilling cycle, because what happens is this: he jumps off of this 9-story bridge, and then his friends are like, oh, we have actually raised the bar. And then somebody has to do something else stupid, or they go to the hospital and visit him and call him an idiot. But anyways, there's something that needs to be addressed, because men are four times more likely to actually kill themselves in a suicide. And so a lot of that times is led by these expectations that men have around themselves, around their masculinity. So basically it's like, what do people think about a man, and what do I think about myself? And so we've put these people in these put these men in boxes. And so it is a very unhealthy cycle. So if you're listening to this and you are a boy or a teenager or a man, stop doing dumb shit to impress your friends, because one, they're not impressed, and two, you're probably just going to end up hurting yourself. And also, if you think, you know, that you might need, listen, like, you probably need to talk to somebody. I don't want to say, like, if you think that you need to talk to somebody, like, you know, it's just not a bad idea if you feel these types of pressures. Go talk to somebody. Go look up Heads Up Guys on the internet, because you can find that these groups exist, and you might not even need to leave your house to have the conversation that might make you just feel just a little better, especially around this time of the year. You know, it's Valentine's Day. You might be a little lonely and a little have some feels on the inside, and that's okay. Listen, it's okay to feel. Just handle it, you know? When we get back, we're going to move on to some whack shit that's happening in Florida. When is some whack shit not happening in Florida? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Say I've got some time, I'm abusing. Change my mind if you ever switch it up. Get it, but pulling up in my car. All my friends coming down. Say you won't rob me. If you ever
tell you where to go. Nobody listens to the radio, baby. Whooping the corners like we're running from the sun. The whip is turning different colors and you're taking on changes.
Wish I could see you come around and fill you up. Waiting for you, baby, just fill me up. Breaking what you gave me was good enough. What you gave me was good enough.
Wish I could see you come around like one more time. Faded like dumb it down. Over quick just like summertime. Baby, let's double down. I bet you will fuck with me now.
Yo, you're back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. We got so much music. I have so much music that I wanted to play that I'm not even going to be able to get to it all. But I'll have more music because, so it's Black History Month. And so I posted on my Instagram. If you're not following me, you should. It's at the Notorious. .l.a.t.elist. And I have no idea why somebody would think I'm late all the time. Listen, I'm always on time. Just maybe not there when I told you I would be. Anyways. I posted something about Black History Month and really wanted to. I got a lot of friends doing lots of things that I think are important, you know, and whether that's like big or small, just want to see what people are. But people are feeling good about this month. And one thing I have learned is that people are feeling good about their own music. And so I have some music I need to listen to see if I think it's good. Because while I appreciate people posting their SoundCloud and Spotify links in there, I appreciate good music most, you know. I feel like that's the number one important part of the music. There is some horrible animal news. So, you know, here on Off the Beaten Path, what we like to do is we talk about animals. We talk about animals in a way that really is really next level. I'm not going to lie. Listen, we have a perspective on our furry friends, or maybe, you know, maybe they're not so furry friends, that I find is like a refreshing take. And now it's not only refreshing because I said it, but it's just, it's pretty solid, you know? Anyways, but what we're seeing is that shit is looking dire for these people. It is looking sad. We need a win. The animals need a win soon. And I haven't seen one coming in a long time. And it's not their fault. It's not humans' fault. Like, if you have been following the Australian wildfires, you know that it has killed millions and millions of animals. And also, there are more than 100 species whose futures have been threatened and who are closer to extinction. 100 species, that's a lot. That's 13 kinds of birds, 19 mammals, 20 reptiles, 17 different types of frogs, 17 different types of fish, and various koala species that are all ready put on the imminent risk to extinction category. And you're like, damn, that's trash. Like, just the idea that a fire could wipe out so many different types of species. Now, I am always wondering, like, you know, how many species on this earth do we need? And I feel like the answer is pretty much like, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them. Like, there's so many different animals that are within our, like, you know, our ecosystem that have a specific job that we don't even think about. I really, so there's this book, it's called Where Do Good Ideas Come From? And I would recommend everybody to read it because it's not like a, it's not one of my favorite, it's not one of my favorite literary works, but it is definitely a book about design thinking, and it's, it makes you really try to think about how you think about things, and which I feel like is very important. And one of the things it talks about is just how our, how delicate our ecosystem is, and how it's been built in a way that is built on like iterations and making sure there's balances on every aspect. And so what you know is that these animals exist for a reason, and it's been fine-tuned by nature to make sure that it stays this way so that we can continue to live like lives that are uninterrupted. And we're not doing a very good job of staying out of interrupting other people's lives. And so if you know that the wildfires were started by people, and the fact that the indigenous people of Australia have been moved off of their land and out of their positions as stewards of the land, you'll see that wildfires are just getting worse and worse. Like, we have them in BC, and wildfires are pretty natural, but the thing is they used to be more contained just in the manners of how the people who lived here before took care of the land, because it was fine-tuned. Now it's lost that balance. Anyways, this is not a balance thing. This is a Florida thing. So there's a reward for $20,000 that leads to a person or persons responsible for killing a pair of dolphins in Naples, Florida. So the dead dolphins were discovered with bullet holes in them. So these dolphins were stabbed and shot. Like, what the hell? Honestly, if I heard one of my friends or somebody I knew talking about how they shot a dolphin, I might shoot them. I'm not a gun owner. I'm not one of those people who also believes all guns should go away either. I think that they should. I just don't know how feasible that is. However, if I found out somebody I knew shot a dolphin, I'd shoot them. You can call RCMP on me, Federales. I don't care. I'd shoot somebody who shoot a dolphin. For what? What are you shooting a dolphin for? What's the point? What's the point of shooting a dolphin? I don't understand. I don't see not a single gain. What are you getting from that? Nothing. Anyways, when we get back, a Florida child tried to buy meth from her teacher, and that's where we're at. It's kind of sick, but, you know, that's the life that we live.
Get the bands like the roots. Black out on my thoughts, request the love, revenge to you. Bands are cool. That bitch fast, highs and dodge. Ice cream on the inside, highs and dodge. SRT, she said, I ain't never seen nothing like this in my motherfucking life, though. They ain't some nice kicks on over me, but I like, though.
You're back with All the Bean Path here, and we guys have a few minutes left in the show. We just have a few minutes left in the show. Listen, the studio is starting to get lively with our fellow Fun Drive people. And listen, you can slide over to citr.ca/donate if you'd like to donate, or starting at 1 p.m. you can call in on the phone line. That's 604-822-8648. Or if you're living in the States and you're like, you know what, that seems like a lot of work, you can just Venmo me and I'll make the donation for you. You know my name, it's Issa Aaron. It's easy. You can find it. Yeah, so moral of the story, if you shoot a dolphin, you are at risk. Anyway, there's a man in Kansas, so, you know, it's Valentine's Day. You know, people are trying to fall in love. It's Family Day on Monday. You know, it's President's Day in the United States. So it's just a long weekend. Like, if you have a Valentine, you're in a very good position to become a part of. Like, I suspect that, you know, I've got 14 friends, babies due in the summer. I'm suspecting I have another 5 or 6 friends trickling throughout the end of the year. As Valentine's Day starts on a long weekend, and I think those two are correlated to for a good time. Anyways, so Jeff Gerbert, he's a 47-year-old man out of Prairie Village, Kansas, is trying to find love, and so he's offering $25,000 that can help for anybody who can help him find that special someone. He said he's single. I don't want to go back to the normal app-based dating stuff. So he's offered people $25,000. Now listen, Jeff, you could have just come to me. I'm not as good as Will Smith, but I'll make do. You know what I mean? Like, I'll get the job done. Listen, we'll find you a girlfriend. It's, I guess when he starts seeing someone, you'll get 5 yearly installments of $5,000. And I don't know about you guys, but $5,000 would change my life right now. So I'm looking for Jeff to come through. This show is normally followed by some ghost radio, but today we have some a special show with Madeline and Anna. They've got a playlist dedicated to their high school crushes. We'll tune in because they are some great storytellers, and I'm sure that they both have some very, very interesting stories. Probably more interesting than this story I'm going to leave you with, which is a cab driver in Chicago. Basically, he's going to be arrested for kidnapping when they find him. So a 34-year-old man reported an attempted kidnapping because the man and the woman got into a dispute about the cab fare, and the cabbie drove off with her 11-month-old baby in the back seat. And I feel like if you drive off with the baby in the back seat, you should know 100% that you are going to jail. But that is this week's Off the Beaten Path. Listen, thank you for tuning in. We love your participation in the show, and also thanks for being you. But don't forget to donate, because it's crucial to the programming here at CITR, and also that we continue to stand with the Wet'suwet'en people. Go look it up. We'll be back next week. I'm out.
Fun Drive 2020, CITR's annual fundraising week, is happening between February 5th and February 14th. This is the one week of the year where we ask you to dig deep and give what you can to support local, independent community radio.